Colectivo Raíces presenta su programa
Espejos de Aztlán.
Información,
arte,
cultura.
Bienvenidos.
Bienvenidos a su programa Espejos de Aztlán y estamos esta tarde con Enrique Lamadrid, profesor emérito de español en la Universidad de Nuevo México, y Ana Nogar, profesora asociada de español en la Universidad de Nuevo México, ambos coautores de este libro que pues lo venía esperando hace rato, Hermanas de Azul o Sisters in Blue. Bienvenidos Ana y Enrique a nuestro programa.
Gracias, gracias Cristina.
Pues es un placer tenerlos aquí, especialmente en un día como hoy, en Memorial Day, hoy 29 de mayo, pues en vivo en nuestros estudios de KONM, pues estamos con este libro Sisters in Blue o Hermanas de Azul y el subtítulo Sor María Agreda Comes to New Mexico, Sor María Agreda viene a Nuevo México, con ilustraciones de Amy Córdoba, preciosas ilustraciones, y estamos ante un libro que además es bilingüe, pero lo empezamos en español. ¿Verdad?
Claro.
Estos personajes, o Sor María Agreda y alguien más que está en esta historia de Hermanas de Azul, ¿son verdaderos? ¿Son ficción total? ¿Son parte ficción, parte realidad? ¿Quiénes son estas dos mujeres que se encuentran o se encontraron alguna vez en Nuevo México?
Bueno, como tenemos una de cada uno, Sor María Jesús de Agreda es un individuo histórico, vivió en España en el siglo XVII y se dice que viajó milagrosamente a Nuevo México también en la misma época, al comienzo del siglo XVII, y la otra personaje es Pafshuri.
Sí, tuvimos que inventar una amiga para María. Estaba tan desesperada, estaba haciendo sus viajes ya, perdía conciencia y tenía la sensación que se iba lejos de donde vivía en España, en su convento, pero no sabía hasta dónde iba. Y esta es la primera vez que se da cuenta en dónde está. Y tuvimos que inventar una joven de la misma edad, de 18 años, para conversar con ella y decirle que está en Nuevo México. Y todo tiene lugar el mismo día, el día de San Juan de 1620.
El 24 de junio.
¿Y por qué ese día en especial?
Pues en parte porque es un día que se celebra en todo el mundo, ¿no? En España y en otros países hispanohablantes es un día que se celebra con eventos que incluyen pues el agua, por ejemplo, para conmemorar el San Juan Bautista, obviamente, pero que también se conmemora ese día en otros lugares en el mundo como casi el día más largo del año, ¿no? Entonces, en el pueblo de Sor María, Agreda, se celebra el día de San Juan, y en el pueblo de Pafshuri se celebra el Summer Solstice.
Oh, ¿y qué significa el nombre de este personaje, de esta mujer joven que en este cuento, en esta historia, tiene un nombre en qué lengua? Porque estamos combinando muchas lenguas en esta historia.
Pafshuri. Ajá. Pafshuri quiere decir flor azul y es un nombre bastante común entre la gente tiwa. Los tiwa viven en los pueblos de Taos, de Sandía, de Isleta, y es la lengua más emparentada, más cerca a la lengua que hablaban en el pueblo de Pafshuri, que se llamaba Cuelotze. La lengua de ellos era el tompiro. Y tuvimos que, ya no existe esa lengua. La gente salió a causa de las guerras con los apaches, con la sequía, salieron todos y vinieron para el Río Grande con sus primos tiwas y piros, y su lengua ya dejó de existir, pero se asimilaron a la gente de aquí. Así que usamos muchas palabras del antigua del sur.
Entonces hay algo muy mágico en esta historia de este encuentro de dos hermanas. Hoy decimos muchas veces la palabra hermana o hermandad para hablar de conexión, sisterhood, como se dice en inglés, entre mujeres, que hay una complicidad, una conexión muy especial. Y en este caso es un cuento para niños, para jóvenes, en la cual hay una historia de conexión entre dos mujeres. ¿Pueden adelantarnos un poquito antes de leer el libro sobre esta historia?
Quizás la historia más famosa de Nuevo México de todos los tiempos, ¿no? De más duración, porque esta historia era famosa ya en el siglo XVII y seguimos contándola. Es en parte historia, es en parte leyenda, pero se cuenta y hay gente muy consciente de la presencia de Sor María aquí en Nuevo México y la importancia histórica de sus viajes que hizo para acá.
Y aparte, bueno, aquí en Nuevo México, también en Texas, existen también leyendas en el sur de Arizona pertenecientes a ella. Y de hecho, el nombre de Pafshuri viene de una de esas leyendas, que es de Texas. Allí dicen que la última vez que vino Sor María a visitar la gente de Texas, dejó como que recuerdo un flor azul, The Texas Blue Bonnet. Entonces, el nombre de Pafshuri juega un poco con esa leyenda.
I had many times listeners asking me to talk or to do something about this Monja Azul. I didn't know who is this Monja Azul. I have also to confess that I grew up in a nun's school. So I was, I'm not sure I want to do this. It reminds me too much, the school. So this Sor Ágreda, did really exist? Or is it she herself also a legend?
No, she really did exist. And she really was well known during her life and long after in Spain. She became a very good friend of the King of Spain during her lifetime because she was well known for these visits already. The Inquisition examined her twice because, you know, they had doubts about this type of mystical travel.
Especially a woman.
Especially a woman. God. No. No, and they asked her, did you know how you traveled? And she said, well, you know, St. Paul traveled. And he was never able to say how he traveled, and I'm just a woman, so how would you expect me to know the answer to that question? So she handled
she
that
was very smart. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Enrique, ¿qué es lo que les hizo pensar en la necesidad de crear una historia con dos personajes, uno de España y uno residiendo en Nuevo México en el siglo XVII, para hablar de esta conexión?
Porque son historias que se entretejen. Esta es una nueva espiritualidad que viene a Nuevo México y ella, la monja, tuvo mucha influencia sobre los franciscanos. Los franciscanos no eran tan famosos por ser tan abiertos con sus neófitos, con los indios que enseñaban. Y ella les escribía cartas una vez que se dieron cuenta que sí, las autoridades franciscanas llegaron a creer que sí era cierto que se venía para acá. Entonces, tuvo una gran influencia sobre los mismos franciscanos. Les dijo, pues, traten a los indios con respeto, con cuidado, traten de aprender lo que pueden de sus culturas, para que les ayuden,
¿no? Como una huerta recién plantada, decían.
Sí, eso decía, que son como plantitas, son como los almácigos, las plantitas más pequeñitas del jardín, hay que cuidarlas.
Y como decía Enrique, uno de los misioneros más conocidos franciscanos en Norteamérica, Junípero Serra, era muy devoto de ella, tanto como misionera, digamos, como uh-huh. autora. Entonces se encuentran sus libros en las misiones de California, se encuentra su imagen en una de las misiones de la Sierra Gorda que construyó Serra. Entonces era muy conocida entre los franciscanos, los misioneros franciscanos de México.
¿Qué les parece si compartimos un poquito de esa historia? Porque así encontramos a nuestros oyentes ya ansiosos por darles pues un mordisquito nada más de este libro que es presentado por Enrique Lamadrid y Ana Nogar como coautores de este libro que se denomina Hermanas de Azul, Sor María Ágreda viene a Nuevo México o Sisters in Blue. y es parte de la editorial de la Universidad de Nuevo México, con ilustraciones de Amy Córdoba. Y pues, ¿qué les parece si hacemos este coloquio, como ustedes dicen, dos lenguas coloniales cara a cara, pero sí, con mucho más? Un pequeño párrafo para leer, darles un vistacito pequeño a la historia.
Comienza en inglés y Ana leerá en español. This is the point in the story where she wakes up in New Mexico. It's the Día de San Juan. It's very hot in June in Spain. They've had a mass where they baptized a lot of the babies, and she just loses consciousness. Her sisters lay her down. They put a wet handkerchief over her to cool her down a little bit, and she awakes in New Mexico. So Maria sensed a presence and awoke under a piñon tree on a rocky hillside. Maria immediately recognized the tree's resinous scent, made strong by the warming sun. To one side was a valley with a dry arroyo running through it and some large rocks. She heard a drum in the distance, and on the other side saw a walled village with people dancing on a plaza. She watched everything for what seemed like hours, admiring the colorful clothes, stately lines, and careful steps. The reverence of the dance impressed her. It was nothing like the dancing back home, which was wild with joy, water, and wine. Pero tienen que saber de San Juan, she guessed. They must know about San Juan. Pero dónde está? But where is he? She was startled to see masked dancers emerge from underground and joined in the dance. She wondered, ¿son los santos de ellos? Are they their saints? Maria didn't approach the town. Instead, she walked down the little arroyo. She realized how thirsty she was and caught the scent of water nearby. As she approached the rocks, she was amazed to see etched figures of double-winged crosses on the rocks. She was overjoyed to see a young Pueblo woman sitting by a pool of water who had just awakened. Maria was so surprised that she dropped her crystal rosary to the ground without noticing. Buenas tardes, le de Dios, hermana. Good afternoon, my sister. Tengo tanta sed. I'm so thirsty. And so that's when they begin their interaction. That's when they begin their friendship.
Let's have the same version, the same part of this book now in Spanish, so our listeners can play the same game with that.
Okay, and as Enrique said, you know, Sor Maria is coming off of the Dia de San Juan celebration in her village. Pafshuti has likewise been exhausted by the Midsummer Day celebration in her pueblo, and she is near a small pond of water also resting. So that's where they find each other. Sintió una presencia ahí. Se despertó bajo un piñón piñonero en una ladera rocosa. Inmediatamente, María reconoció la fragancia resinosa del árbol, fuerte bajo el calor del sol. Por un lado había un valle con un arroyo seco que lo atravesaba y unas rocas grandes. Entonces escuchó un tambor en la distancia y del otro lado divisó una gran aldea amurallada con gente danzando en una plaza. Observó todo por lo que parecieron horas, admirando los trajes coloridos, las filas imponentes y los pasos cuidadosos. La reverencia a la danza la impresionó. No se parecía en nada a los bailes desenfrenados de su tierra, que eran salvajes de gozo, agua y vino. Tienen que saber de San Juan, ella supuso. Deben de saber de San Juan, pero ¿dónde está? Se asombró cuando vio los danzantes enmascarados saliendo para juntarse con los otros. Se preguntó, ¿son los santos de ellos? María no se atrevió a acercarse al pueblo y prefirió caminar por el pequeño arroyo. Se dio cuenta de lo sedienta que estaba y sintió cerca de la húmeda presencia del agua. Cuando se acercó a las piedras, se sorprendió de ver todas las figuras de cruces de cuatro alas grabadas en las rocas. Se entusiasmó de ver a una joven que justo acababa de despertarse, sentada a la orilla de una tinaja. María estaba tan sorprendida que, sin darse cuenta, dejó caer al suelo su rosario de cristal. «Buenas tardes, le de Dios, hermana. Tengo tanta sed».
You are listening to Enrique Lamadrid and Ana Nogar, co-authors of Sor Maria Agreda Comes to New Mexico, or Sisters in Blue, or Hermanas de Azul, Sor Maria Agreda Viene a Nuevo México. This is the book that was released by the UNM Press and is available just this month. We'll be back with the history, the background, the historical background of this story. Very interesting of an encounter between two young women, one from Spain and the other one in New Mexico. We are in Espejos de Aslan. My name is Cristina Bachin. You can leave your messages in our KUNM Radio Facebook page. And we are with Enrique Lamadrid, a distinguished professor emeritus of Spanish, and Ana Nogar, associate professor of Spanish at the University of New Mexico, presenting this book from the Querencias series. Me encanta ese nombre, Querencias, of the University of New Mexico Press. And we are with this story of Sisters in Blue or Hermanas de Azul. And I was listening to that story a while ago about La Monja de Azul. What's the historical background of this story that you craft so well as a bilingual story in Spanish and English for children and young people?
So the figure of Sor Maria de Jesús de Ágreda, what we present here, comes from the history that we know about her. You know, she
existed.
She existed. She she turned out to be a very prolific writer.
Okay.
During her lifetime. She had this interesting political role during her lifetime. And then after her lifetime, she was immediately promoted to sainthood. So people were trying to promote her case for sainthood. She didn't make it. She's still a venerable. But she was this big figure during her lifetime. And this part about her mystical travels was very well known in Mexico. It was well known in other parts of the Spanish colonies during that time. And we tried to, the interesting thing is there's not a lot that you could say, you know, comes out in her own voice. There's a lot of Inquisition testimony. There are some letters that she wrote. And the story that we wrote fits in with things that she said. And then we wove pieces of the history that still exists. So she has a double armed cross that's actually in her convent in Ágreda. It sort of merges with the idea of...
Where is Ágreda?
Oh, sorry. Ágreda is in Spain. It's in a province called Soria. So it's kind of in the middle of Spain. Mm-hmm. And her family turned their home castle into a convent, and her father and her two brothers became Franciscan brothers, and her mother and her sister and herself became members of the convent in their home.
It was like a survival decision, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, so we had this side of this well-documented, in some ways, story, and then we have the side of Pafshuri.
The historical link of the story to New Mexico comes through some people that live. Their homeland area is right where the Conchos River hits the Rio del Norte, the Rio Grande, Rio Bravo. And it's right where Ojinaga, Chihuahua, and Presidio, Texas are. And they were called Humanos. And they were very distinctive-looking people because of their facial tattoos. And they had a trade route that came into New Mexico through the Manzano Mountains, where the pueblo of Cuelotze is located. Cuelotze means shield springs, we think, in the Tompiro language. The Spanish called it Las Humanas or Los Humanos, because that's where they saw the Humano people for the first time. And then the Americans call it Gran Quivira because they thought maybe there was buried treasure there. It still exists. It's part of the Salinas National Monument, the Salinas Pueblos. It's a pueblo that had no running water at all. And the reason people put it there, constructed it there, is to control the trade in salt because of all the salt lakes in the Estancia Valley. And they took a big gamble and they lost the gamble because when the drought came, they died of thirst. But this pueblo actually had contact with the Franciscan friars that were in New Mexico. They went to preach there. They noticed the Indians that were coming in there from Texas. And so Isleta Pueblo is involved with this story, and the story gets to the Rio Grande Valley. And so that's why we chose Cuelotza. It's kind of like the entry point for this story into New Mexico. And so we developed the story and a lot of the details from the archaeology and from the ethnography of these Pueblo people. And one of the great parts about this story for me was having to invent the menu for both for the Fiesta de San Juan in Spain.
I learned a lot from that menu.
And then the feast day menu here. And we used a lot of the different Pueblo words for all the different kinds of corn. And we talk about the kinds of stews that the women made. The Cuelotze Pueblo had more access to wild game than any other Pueblo. There were four times the amount of bones that were found in the archaeology there, because they had access to buffalo, they had access to deer. And there's a lot of piñon trees around there. And so they noticed that every doorway in the Pueblo, there were piñon shells all over the ground. So you can tell exactly what people were doing. They were standing in doorways, shelling piñon and visiting with each other. So we had a really great time with the story. It goes on and on and on. It's a round Pueblo that was reconstructed as a square Pueblo by people from Zuni. It's all involved with the great historical trauma of the entrance of Coronado. He came on a feast day in Zuni, and he killed all of the priests on their feast day. And so a lot of those people moved to Cuelotze to get as far away from Zuni as they possibly could. And so there's a lot of ethnography and archaeology that went into putting this story together.
So in this story that is Sisters in Blue or Hermanas de Azul, is also a way for children, teenagers, and youngsters who would like to. It's like an immersion from different points of view, at least from what I could, in my modest opinion. Our youngster can go through the history of New Mexico, also in the everyday life history. It's not that something in the books. It's also in the menu, what were they cooking, eating. And there are also love stories with all the tragedy that came from these people who were coming all dressed in metal and looking for metal. So this kind of book is a kind of book that really, I really welcome to our New Mexico literature landscape because of the content, but also because it's bilingual, not only bilingual, it's bringing back language that was in our lands. Just if you can tell me in a few minutes, what's the future of the coexistence of different languages in our New Mexico state?
Well, for us at UNM, for us personally, for us in our scholarship and our work, it's all about recovery. It's about linguistic recovery. It's about literary recovery. It's about bringing these stories to light that we can learn so much from. And we have a whole program in our department that's a language recovery program. It's a Spanish heritage language program. And so we're all part of that, and that's what joins us to Pueblo people as well. They're very, very concerned with language loss, as we are, and they're working very, very hard on it. And this is a story that's very attractive to Pueblo people because it shows them in such a positive light. It's a story about the conquest, but we've really brought it down to earth. We've really decolonized it as much as we could to not change it, but to show that how important communication between cultural groups is.
If our listeners want to take a look to this book, where can they find it? And do, if you have any event, please let us know. Where can they find this book?
Well, it's published by the University of New Mexico Press, the latest in their wonderful series of bilingual children's books with cultural content about New Mexico. So important for our children, so important for us to find out these stories. It's available at the UNM bookstore. It's available through the UNM Press and local bookstores, including Bookworks and Collected Works, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be signing books at the Spanish Colonial Market on July 29th at 10 a.m.
Oh, sounds great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And in terms of the future of Spanish in New Mexico, Spanish has a bright future in New Mexico, gracias a ustedes, los inmigrantes. the thousands of people in the Colonia Mexicana who their kids bring their Spanish to UNM. They interact with the New Mexican kids, and all of the boats are floating. All of the boats are floating, and there is a future thanks to the immigrant community who come in and speak and use their Spanish quite joyfully.
But also thanks to these kind of works like you did, Ana Nugar and Enrique La Madrid, to bring literature on which there is this portrayal of the region, and we can also rehearse through the languages, which is a beautiful exercise we can do, as this book helps you to go from just the same paragraph in the same page from one language to the other. Thanks to you. Gracias a ustedes.
Gracias, Cristina. Gracias por tenernos aquí.
Gracias a ustedes.